It's time now to continue our discussion of using the Apple TV as a replacement for traditional television services. Plus, I've now spent 1 week with the Apple Card. What's it been like? What can I share with you? That's coming up, and a whole lot more today on TTJ Talk. To another TTJ Talk produced by the Tech Juggernaut at ttjtech.net. Good to see everybody. Thanks for joining us today. All right, thanks for joining us here on another TTJ Talk. We've got lots and lots coming up today, lots to share with you. We are just slightly under 2 weeks away now from the very first training course of our 2019-20 training season. These courses are free, and the first one will be a course on iOS 13, iPadOS, tvOS, and more. Again, free courses. You don't want to miss them. You can go to our website at ttjtech.net. I almost said TTJ Talk because that's the podcast. ttjtech.net and sign up for the blog so you don't miss a thing. One of the most recent news articles on that blog is the information on our courses and how to register. Registration is still open, but it's done on a first-come, first-served basis, so you're going to want to do that very soon. All right, folks, grab the coffee, maybe the cupcakes, the Danishes, something, because it's time for us to head on over to the news desk. Is the week of August 25th, 2019, and slightly cooler than it's been. I say that with a grain of salt because it's still very, very nice weather out, and February or March will be so excited to receive temperatures even close to this. But anyhow, in this week, we have a few things to share with you. First of all, it is assumed that in just about 2 weeks, we will see Apple's media event, during which they will announce lots of new stuff. This is what some of the fans often refer to as Apple season, that we're getting close to. Kind of neat that it goes with Apple season in the fall. But often the time of year when Apple does release new iPhones, perhaps Apple Watches, lots is rumored, nothing is known officially. We also are expecting, of course, the software, iOS 13, iPadOS 13, tvOS 13, HomePod software, watchOS 6, and macOS Catalina to be released to the general public. That is coming up in just a few weeks, we can assume. Apple has not officially announced dates yet, but we do suspect that they'll be sending media invites out fairly soon. And when they do, we will, of course, report on that as well. But until that time, not much is really known other than what is what has been speculated at this point in time. Now, in other news, Hulu is releasing an overhauled user interface and updated version of its guide to include a grid guide for Hulu with live TV users. This is rather fascinating, and those who are following our discussion of Apple TV will want to stay tuned when we talk about Hulu, because it's definitely a viable option. HomePod has launched in more countries. We're excited to see that thing continuing to progress. And, of course, the one of the biggest stories last week was the discussion of Apple Card. And I need to report back now after having used it 1 week, of course, so far. And I absolutely love it, as you might have suspected. I do have to say that I was wrong about one thing, and I'm very happy to have been wrong about it, so I need to make an apology and an official correction to one thing I said. If you listened to last week's episode, you heard me say that I did not believe the Apple Card was ideal for recurring payments where you had to store the payment online because the security code changed. That's actually not entirely true. The security code is available on the device and does not change unless you request it to. There is also a device account number, which is separate, but there is a regular code you can use as a security code, as well as an expiration date and a 16-digit card number. With this, you can absolutely store your credit card information with services like Amazon, PayPal, and others. So I was wrong, and I'm sorry, but now after having done a little more of my homework, I realize that, and I want to report that to you. Go ahead, store it online for recurring payments. I've done it already for many websites. It's been completely successful. Apple says it this way. Think about all the things you do with an ordinary credit card. Well, that's what you can do here. So, you know, your one-time payments, sure, but also the recurring ones. And there's a benefit to it. You know, now everybody's got different philosophies and for different reasons. And regardless of reasoning, most people have come to realize that it's best to only charge to your credit card what you can actually afford to pay so that you can pay it off right away. And of course, this is the best way to avoid high interest, deteriorating credit scores, and a lot of other things. So pay off that credit card as quick as you can, preferably right away. Only put things on it you can afford. So we're not talking about, you know, anything different than that. What we're saying is, though, if you're going to do recurring payments anyway, where you would store your, let's say, checking account number, instead, why not store the Apple Card? It's actually going to do some work for you in that it's going to earn Apple cash, daily cash. So every day that you spend money, you get cash back. Remember, it's 1% where the card, physical card or card number is used, 2% where Apple Pay is used, and 3% at actual Apple store purchases. I assume that's iTunes and so forth as well. I've been seeing it. I've gotten a few dollars already in Apple Cash, daily cash. I've used it at different places. It does show the restaurants and the other types of services. Different things that you spend are color-coded. VoiceOver reads them nicely. The Apple Wallet notifies you when there's transactions made, regardless of what form they have been made in. The physical card came, and I had no trouble activating that. Honestly, the most difficult thing about that was getting it out of its packaging. But it's a beautiful titanium card with layered coatings. They've given some very specific instructions as to how to keep it as pristine as possible. Some people are reacting to this and saying, oh, only Apple would give such robust, some people, I think one used the word Byzantine, instructions for how to clean and store safely the Apple Card. Here's the thing, folks. I have said this before. I believe people are harder on Apple than they are on a lot of other companies. And so if you got your beautiful white titanium Apple Card with your name laser etched into it, and suddenly it started to discolor, ordinarily, who cares if their credit card discolors or doesn't look as good as it did the day they received it? But this is the Apple Card, and people are going to start complaining, oh, my card is discolored. Has Apple lost its way? You know, these things happen. So I think Apple just took some steps there to cover itself, saying, look, if you do this, if you put it in a leather wallet, you know, if it's got constant contact with leather or denim, it's going to get some stains on it that you may not be able to wipe off. And you don't want to put it against other cards because it may scratch. So they're telling you these things. Of course, they're happy to send you a replacement card if yours is damaged. I wouldn't want to take advantage of that too many times, but they will do that for free. And you can request that right in the app. That's another beautiful thing. The card does not have your credit card number or anything stored on it. We discussed that last week. If you want that information, it is available in the Apple Wallet app. And in settings, well, on Apple Pay, if you don't have a wallet app like on an iPad. But you can access all the information you need there. And if you do suspect someone has gotten hold of your card number, you can just request a new card number as well. So that's another cool feature. Okay, so that is my experience with the Apple Card. I really love it. Activation of the physical card was super simple. You hold the package up. I had actually gone into the wallet and said activate. I don't even think you really needed to do that, but I did, and it was straightforward, and it told you hold this packaging up to the phone. So I did, and it activated within, you know, just 2 seconds or something. Really crazy and awesome. So that is Apple Card. Now, iOS 12.4.1 was released to the general public this week, presumably with bug fixes, including, as rumor has it, the fix for an accidental unpatching of a previously patched vulnerability that potentially allowed jailbreaking of iOS and other security risks. So that was solved and taken care of. We're happy to hear that. And of course, those of us who are on iOS 13, we're already in a whole different place there, and we're anxiously playing with betas and awaiting more betas, and looking forward to sharing all the awesome stuff with the rest of you folks coming up here, we assume, in the next few weeks. So, all that said, let's move on now, and let's talk about TV, because you'll recall that's one of the things we have been talking about, and we want to continue on our discussion of Apple TV as a replacement for traditional television services. Today's topic, streaming services and Apple TV channels. Let's get going. DirecTV Now, or AT&T TV Now, Philo, Hulu with live TV, regular Hulu, Fubo, YouTube TV, Sling, PlayStation View. How do I decide? And what else do I want to go with it? So I have been saying for a while now that it all starts with streaming services. You've got to pick services because your TV experience will only be as good as the streaming services in the sense that your content is probably going to be the most important thing to you. Now, I also believe the device and the UI, the user interface, the overall experience is vitally important, which is why I aggressively and unapologetically recommend the Apple TV as the only way to go, for living room devices, and then iOS for other. But, you know, I believe that's the way to go over all the other competition. That's why we're not even discussing the other competition at this point, because we believe Apple is the way to go. But having said that, you've got to have good streaming services, otherwise the content you want may not be available to you, and everybody knows we watch TV for the content, right? So there are some things to keep in mind. You've got to pick a streaming service or two, maybe more. Now, the folks over at Cord Cutters News, an outstanding website for cord cutters. They've got an app. They've got a YouTube channel. They've got tutorials, all sorts of great things there. I love Cord Cutters News. Read their articles every day. They have better statistics than I have regarding the number of streaming services that the average person has. And they're real big on saying, look, if you're really doing this to save money, you don't have to have a whole bunch, or you can sign up for one and pause it, you know, and come back to it in a few months when you need it again. And granted, that's all true. One of the things we've said to you is that you have that option. It gives you the options you don't normally see with traditional packages because there are no long-term contracts, there are no early termination fees, there are no commitment periods. So it is true you can do that. Now, not everybody wants to do that, and some people consider that a hassle, and that's fine. But again, it is a personal preference thing. Now, when we talk about streaming services, there are different types of streaming services. There are on-demand streaming services, and then there are live TV streaming services. Your live TV streaming services are also going to have a degree of on-demand content available in them, of course, just like traditional cable and satellite TV has on-demand movies and shows. On-demand-only streaming services, though, like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and others, are really popular in this day and age because they offer tremendous content and tremendous value. Now, we could get into a discussion about rate hikes and all these things, but look, on the whole, they're very reasonable. And they often offer different tiers. With Netflix, it's the streaming quality and the number of users that you want to be able to stream at any given time simultaneously. With Hulu, it's whether or not you want commercials or no commercials, limited commercials or no commercials in your TV viewing experience. And then, of course, there is a live TV Hulu as well, which includes the base streaming plan. There are, you know, different ways that each company handles these things. But again, they all offer a variety of popular television. Netflix is really big about having every season of shows commercial-free with the exception of the current season. You might find, you know, shows that are still airing new content. You'll find seasons 1 through 8, and season 9 is available live on, you know, another channel, or then when season 9 is over, it appears on Netflix as an entire season commercial-free. Hulu often airs current and past stuff with commercials, usually a day or so after it is aired live, and this can vary slightly as far as the exact amount of time. Usually it's actually just within a few hours. Hulu's very big about having the broadcast shows and movies. So if you, you know, want a way to conveniently access everything that's on NBC, ABC, Fox, and others without having those live channels, Hulu is fantastic for this. And we're talking again about Hulu's base streaming plan for $5.99 a month with limited commercials. It is a, there is a higher cost to having no commercials. And so there's a lot of stuff to consider. Amazon Prime is very popular. And then there is this amount of original content. Over the past few years, all of these streaming services really have begun focus on original content that they are producing themselves. So, you know, Castle Rock, Netflix just has tons of them. So they've got Stranger Things. One of the first was House of Cards. There's all sorts of shows and even movies. Same thing with Amazon Prime. Netflix also has the Fuller House series, which is the sequel to Full House. So there are, I mean, there are tons and tons in all different genres. Of course, Apple is sort of betting the farm, as they say, or betting the, what do they say? Betting the, I don't know, what's the right term? Betting the horses? Betting the, I don't know. Whatever they bet, they're betting it. Sorry, folks, I can't think of the cliche. There is some cliche there. But they're betting it all on original content. They have hired the best in producers, actors, and actresses, and writers, and they're spending billions of dollars on creating what they feel is great original content. It might be a smaller number than some, but they feel it's going to be the best around. Lots and lots of genres, and we've seen previews of some of it, and I like what I've seen so far. And so that's what Apple TV Plus is going to be all about. When it is released later this year, is original content. Disney Plus will have a combination of original content and existing Disney content. So a lot of this stuff that they're doing, how do you decide? Well, you know, some people are going to sign up for all of them, and then they might not keep all of them, or they might. Others are going to, you know, pick one or two. Again, there's a lot of factors here, your own budget and what you like to watch. You can easily find out where shows and movies are available with a simple Google search, because perhaps there's a popular show that you like to watch from another network that, you know, happens to be on, for example, Netflix. A lot of people have signed up for Netflix for shows like Friends and The Office, both of which I believe are moving to the new HBO Max when it is released. So there may be some people who add HBO Max to their lineup or switch to HBO Max, but Netflix may gain some other things. It's hard to say. Hulu has a lot of popular shows like Full House, Family Matters, The Golden Girls, Reba, I Love Lucy, Taxi, and others that people really enjoy watching. And these, as well as a lot of the current stuff, anything on the broadcast channel. So if you want to watch Spin the Wheel, Grey's Anatomy, if you want to watch Private Practice, Superstore, tons and tons of content on Hulu that is current, that is on the live channels as well, but that, you know, they have here the day or so after it airs. So Hulu's a great service. It's got some really good movies. Hulu used to seem to sort of be only like a B-movie kind of thing, but that's not true anymore. They've gotten a lot of really, really good movies, and Netflix is the same way. It's very possible that people will want to have one of these in their lineup. Now, beyond that, there are live TV streaming services, meaning I can actually tune into a live feed from various channels right now. In most cases, this is also going to give me TV Everywhere support. That means I can use my credentials to sign in to individual apps from channels like Food Network, HGTV, Lifetime, Nickelodeon, National Geographic, and others, ESPN, Disney, ABC, History Channel, Lifetime, all these various channels. I can use my logins from whatever my live TV provider is, to sign into the app or the website to get even more great content. Live TV streaming services are also often going to have cloud DVR storage, meaning you can save a variety of shows and movies to the cloud to watch anytime. And again, they often do have thousands of titles on demand available to watch at any time. How do I know if I want a live streaming service or which one I want? And the answer is going to be it's a very, very personal thing. Now, here at TTJ, we offer a free service. That's right, free. Consultation where we'll sit down with you and talk about what your favorite content is to watch, both in channels and in actual content, movies and shows. We'll also get your zip code so we can find out what channels are available for you. You need to ask yourself some questions. One of the popular questions people need to ask is, do I want to watch live local channels in my area? You know, WXYZ, WGTT, W whatever. You know, do I want to be able to watch the 6 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news? You know, the whatever as it's airing live. If I do, I need to get a live TV streaming service that has live local channels in it for my area. Many of them do, and more are getting agreements every day. But keep in mind, it is a different agreement than your traditional cable and satellite provider has. So just because your local cable company has it doesn't mean that a streaming provider will have it in your area. There's a good chance that it will, but there are easy ways for us to check. We can check that out for you. You can check it out. And if you find that they don't have your local channels, that may not be the end of the story. Many areas with a digital over-the-air antenna can still get those live locals, but that's a topic for another time. So that's one of the questions. Another very popular motivator for some seems to be sports. Now, this is not something I can personally relate to because I'm not a big sports fan. I watch the Super Bowl. Mostly it's a great chance to get together with friends and family and fellowship and have great food and those types of things, but it's not something where I need to watch all the games leading up to it, and you know, we don't have any teams that we feel we must follow and watch as a family or any of the individuals in our family. So sports is not a deciding factor for us, but many of my customers, it is. Boy, you can't do it unless you're going to get, you know, my local team. So you want to answer that question for us. Oftentimes, if you can get the live local channel, you can get the local sports team. That typically is true. There's also a variety of RSNs, regional sports networks, that can vary. And then, you know, other national games, again, packages include channels like ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, you know, ESPN3, a variety of others, and even NFL Network, you know, MLB, and others. And of course, you can always sign up directly for ESPN Plus. So that's another question. Do I need the sports? Then it's a matter of figuring out what other channels I like, and if in fact the channel that if it's just like one or two shows on that channel, or does it warrant me making sure I have to have a package with that channel in it? So let me give you an example. I mentioned to you that we have Philo. Philo is still my number one choice because you get 58 channels for $20, 3 simultaneous streams, and an unlimited cloud DVR, which stores your recordings for 30 days. There's also a good variety of on-demand movies and shows that you can watch as well. Philo is an all-around solid offering. It does not offer live locals. It does not offer ESPN or any sports, and it does not offer most of the major news networks. I didn't care. We don't need to watch our live locals. We have a Hulu-based streaming plan, which gives us the shows from those national broadcast channels. We are not sports fans, and we kind of get tired of the news. So we do have a CBS subscription, which does give us our live CBS affiliate and live news there if we really want it. And Philo does come with Cheddar for news if we really want it. There are other ways to get news if we really want it. The only thing we were missing with Philo that we really watch is some shows on occasionally Disney and Freeform. So here was the question we had to answer. Do we watch enough shows on Disney and Freeform that it would warrant signing up for, let's say, Hulu with live TV, PlayStation View, or another service that offers those channels live? We came up with, for our family, the answer of no. Our family tends to watch maybe 4 to 5 shows on Disney, and it doesn't seem like they're releasing new seasons any more frequently than once a year at this point. That's been our experience. And Freeform, you know, it's an occasional movie here or there that we can probably watch somewhere else. Nothing we must have. And in the other example I mentioned to you is that, you know, when we looked around at all the other channels that these packages include, we're spending, you know, a great deal more every month and really not watching these channels, even though now we have the options of doing so. So what it made sense to us to do was to buy the Disney movies and shows that we really wanted and the Freeform stuff to get that and not worry about actually having the channel. We're spending far less doing that. I do intend to sign up for Disney Plus when it comes out. That may actually even take care of me having to, I may not even have to buy those handful of Disney shows anymore if they're on there. And even if they're not, you know, for $6-$7 a month to get all that content from Disney, that makes a lot of sense to me. I can justify that a lot more than I can spending $40 to $50 or more on another live TV streaming service for just two channels, depending on how you look at it. So that's the kind of question you've got to answer. Figure out what is the most important to you. Again, Philo, do I really even watch all the channels on there? Absolutely not. But I do love Food Network, HGTV, Cooking Channel, DIY, Animal Planet, Science Channel, History. Every once in a while, we watch some things on Lifetime and LMN. We watch Hallmark and its other channels. We watch Nickelodeon and TV Land, and every once in a while something on CMT Logo or one of the other Nicks, you know, Nick Jr., Teen Nick. And so as you can see, there's a lot, all of those are on Philo. It just, it was a lot, it made a lot of sense for $20 a month to get all those, you know. And then we have some other subscriptions that I'll talk about momentarily. So again, your questions are, do I need the live locals? Do I need live sports? Those two questions kind of go hand in hand, because if I can get my live locals, 9 times out of 10, I'm also going to get my live sports. And then what other movies and shows do I watch? And what other channels do I watch? Which channels warrant actually paying for an entire service to get the full channel, or would I be better off buying the shows and movies? If you do decide to buy a show or a movie, you can do that on your Apple TV or iOS device through the iTunes stores. And you can buy movies, you can buy entire seasons of TV shows. I think we talked about this. You don't have to store them locally or in your own personal iCloud storage. You're not responsible for the storage at all, but you do get the entire season and you own it for life. It's commercial free. It's on demand. It's available on all of your devices. And if it is a current season, you'll get all the episodes that have aired so far and the future ones when they become available, usually within just a few hours of their live airing. This is a great way to get television. And again, seasons can range in price from, you know, $6 to $36. I don't know, somewhere. I'm just naming numbers, but approximately, you know, so it really depends. But again, even if I spent, wow, you know, I said 5 Disney, shows that I can think of, and that's stretching it, probably 4, and each one of those, let's just say for the sake of discussion, it was $20, I don't think they all are, but even if they were, that's $80 a year, and, most streaming services, I would pay almost that in a month, definitely in 2 months. And yes, I'd get a lot of other channels, but channels that I don't really watch. So, you got to weigh that out. You got to figure that out for you. It's different for every person. You can also look at the other features. TV Everywhere is a really big one for me because I like being able to use those individual apps, Food Network, HGTV, the different individual apps. So, which ones support sign-ins for those, you know, you look on that website and you say, okay, Sling TV's list of TV Everywhere apps. Oh, it does not include Food Network, even though they get the Food Network channel. So let's go back to the drawing board. Okay, here's Philo. Yeah, Philo includes Food Network as a TV Everywhere sign-in. Great. Okay. You know, so you can answer the questions that way too. Just Google the name of the provider and TV Everywhere apps, or you can say, you know, use my credentials to access network and TV apps, put the name of the provider you're looking at. There are lots of big ones right now. I've mentioned them to you. There is PlayStation Vue from Sony. Vue is spelled V-U-E. There is Hulu with live TV from the folks at Hulu. There is Sling TV. There's YouTube TV. There's Fubo, F-U-B-O TV. I've already mentioned Philo, P-H-I-L-O, my personal fave. I love it. There is AT&T TV Now, formerly DirecTV Now. I'm trying to think if I've forgotten any here. There are probably others. Those are the ones that really stand out as streaming TV services. Luke Balma, Cord Cutters News, made a statement that he does not believe the new AT&T TV streaming service is really even targeting Cord Cutters. And I've got to agree with him. I really do. Because, again, you got to have a box. There are contracts. There's an activation fee. And you're not even getting as much as you get with the satellite service. So I'm not sure yet who this is targeting. But it doesn't appear to be targeting the group we're talking about right now. But lots of different options out there for you to consider when it comes to live TV streaming services. What other questions might you ask? Well, what's the DVR like? Okay. For example, Philo has, as I mentioned, unlimited DVR for each show and movie, each episode or movie recording is stored for 30 days. PlayStation Vue similarly has a basically unlimited DVR. You can record an unlimited number of airings from up to 500 different shows at one time. They are stored for 28 days. Hulu with live TV takes a different approach. You have a limit of 50 hours, after which the oldest recordings are automatically deleted. Other than that, they're saved for as long as you want them, basically, assuming the content provider doesn't remove them. You can upgrade to the enhanced cloud DVR, which gives you 200 hours of DVR service, and the ability to skip through commercials, which you cannot do in the base DVR. You can do it in the base DVR on other services like Philo and PlayStation Vue. AT&T TV Now has one of the slimmest offerings at just 20 hours for 30 days, but Sling TV charges extra for their DVR. Then I think Fubo might have 30 hours. I don't remember. YouTube TV has unlimited. Check this stuff out. The number of simultaneous streams. How many people can be watching at the same time on different devices? Philo is 3. Hulu is 2. You get the idea. Can I pay for extra streams? Does it have TV Everywhere support for the channels I'm interested in? Because, again, if it does, that's a way of getting additional streams also. So lots and lots of questions. Things that you might want to know. Are there profiles? Hulu has great profiles. Each profile can have its own saved shows, its own DVR, its own things that it likes to watch. Some have various integrations with the Apple TV app, which is great. Others do not. All these kinds of things to check out. And if you want help on this, as I said, free of charge, no obligation, you can always contact us here at ttjtech.net. Use Apple iMessage or email to send us a question over to thetechjuggernaut@icloud.com. You can tweet us at TalkTTJ. So there are ways of getting us involved, and we do this, lots and lots. We are happy to help you in any way that we can. And that is a bit more about the experience of live TV streaming. The last thing I'd like to talk about today is Apple TV channels. Apple TV channels, and then we're going to do an in-depth discussion next time of the Apple TV app. We're also going to talk about VoiceOver with the Apple TV for those who are VoiceOver users. It's great. But for today, we want to talk about Apple TV channels. Apple TV channels are a way of getting additional premium content right in the Apple TV app. It's on demand. If there is a live feed available, that'll be made available to you as well. But basically, it's all on demand, commercial-free, and available across all of your devices. If you use Apple's family sharing feature, it's available on your family members' devices as well for up to 6 people. Content can be downloaded for offline viewing or watched just through streaming. Again, it works on Apple TV, iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, and pretty soon Macintosh as well using the Apple TV app. There are also even a variety of third-party devices which now will be getting or have gotten the Apple TV app. I believe at last count there were 20, maybe 21 streaming services which offered Apple TV channels integration. HBO, Starz, Cinemax, and Showtime are all there. Also, Tastemade, Smithsonian Channel, CBS All Access. In addition to that, Epics. Let's see, Comedy Central Now, MTV Hits. And a, let's see, PBS Living, History Vault, Curiosity Stream, Arrow Video Channel, Shudder. There are quite a few. Nick Hitz is not there yet, but it is supposed to be coming. I think there's a couple others supposedly in the works as well, and I'm sure more over time. But even the ones that are there now are fantastic. They are billed through iTunes, but also you can watch them right in the Apple TV app. You do not need to create a separate account. You can sign up for things like HBO Now, but that requires the downloading of a separate app and the creation of a separate account. Doing it through Apple TV channels, you don't need to do that. You get a 7-day free trial. Even if you've been a customer through their app or another way before, you still get a week free to try it out. And again, it's right in the Apple TV app, so there's nothing additional, no setup required. You get a new Apple TV, you just sign in with your Apple ID, and you're good to go. You do not need to worry about anything else. You can watch all the content, everything you want is right there. I love Apple TV channels. So maybe you need a small bundle plus, you know, a few Apple TV channel subscriptions, a Netflix, a Hulu. There's all kinds of ways to do this, and it can really range in price. But what I'm getting at here is the ultimate inflexibility. It is truly unmatched and unparalleled in what content you can get for the price and exactly how you can do it. Everybody can have their own unique setup, their set of apps and features that they want and that they use. It is entirely dependent upon your viewing habits and preferences. So yes, while it is true that it's still not possible in most cases to purchase completely individual channels just based on an a la carte type of setup, we're a lot closer to that now than we've ever been before, because you can pick the channels and content that is most important to you, that are most important to you, and the best and most cost-effective ways to get them. It's also the way to truly get the most bang for your buck. As I said, money was not the primary motivator for me to become a cord cutter, but once I did it and saw how much I could save, I'm paying far less now than I would have been paying to get the same content if I were with traditional providers. And while some people might say that what I'm paying now is still a lot in their view, I am getting for that price exactly what I want to be getting and not a whole lot extra. There are a few extras and that's fine. I'm not complaining about extras, but why pay tons of dollars for channels you're never going to watch? And I really don't do that. So this is the ultimate way to go, in my opinion. Again, Google searches really are helpful here, but also feel free to contact the Tech Juggernaut, because we're happy to put packages together for you for free. We don't make anything on them. We're not partners on them. Nobody's endorsing us. We're not, you know, officially endorsing anybody, but we can help you to determine what's available in your area and what is going to best meet your needs based on our experience with my own family and with other customers that we have. So we really, really encourage you to do that. Now, coming up next time on our discussion of Apple TV, we are going to talk about the Apple TV app, which is my favorite app of all on Apple TV. And we're also going to talk, for those who are visually impaired, about VoiceOver. And we'll talk about some of the other awesome accessibility features on Apple TV as well. So that's what's coming up next time on TTJ Talk. I want to remind you to please get in touch with us by email. You can or Apple iMessage, thetechjuggernaut@icloud.com. Tweet at TalkTTJ on Twitter. Periscope TTJ Talk. Make sure you subscribe to our blog at ttjtech.net so you don't miss a thing. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. God bless you all, and we will see you next time back here on TTJ Talk. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.